Well, this week we're teaching, if you're new with us, we're teaching through the book of Luke. And I don't do a lot of topical teaching, but this week's events just kind of led me. I needed to speak to these events. And so this week we've entitled the message, Trusting During Trouble. Last Sunday morning, as I was sitting holding my granddaughter, I saw the news break about the events down in South Texas. And to say mixed emotions would be a gross understatement. As you're holding a miracle of life in the future of our nation, the future of our society, and you look at the TV and what has transpired, and you're not in your church, you're not with your people, it was difficult. And I knew pretty quickly that I wanted to speak to this today because it needs spoken to. And today's message isn't so much about societal woes. It's really for us, the church. But I do want to give a couple of moments to societal commentary. For those of you who may not know, on most Monday nights, I do a little thing called a mint mask with a message. It's a 52-year-old man doing a facial, giving a little... I don't know. Devotional, I guess, if we want to make it sound churchy. But last Monday night, I spoke to this and about the necessity of being spiritually ready for moments like these. Because all the other things really are outside of our control for most of us. But each and every one of us have personal responsibility and opportunity to be spiritually ready for a tragedy such as this. And I just want to say thank you guys for whoever watched it, because over 1,000 views. Facebook just stopped counting 1,000. Does that make me trending?
No.
No?
No.
Man. A lot of discussions over the last week. I've had a lot. You've probably heard of a lot, and you may have been involved in some. The questions range from who, when, where, why not. One of the things that stirred my coffee most this week was a political representative from Pennsylvania made this statement. He said, perhaps the shooting is the responsibility of the masculine machismo attitude of Texans. He states this on Twitter, and I quickly responded this. Hey, Chief, you don't know anything about Texas. So why don't you become an expert on chocolate? And Philly sandwiches. How shallow, how ignorant a statement can that be? That in the midst of the greatest tragedy in our state, he would dismiss it like that. You don't know us. How dare you? And I got into several discussions, because this is not a political discussion that I want to have. This is not a social wellness or a mental wellness discussion I want to have. The question we have to answer is this: why and how? And my friends, it's quite simple.
Yes.
It's called sin.
Absolutely.
Now you say, well, Jimmy, you're oversimplifying. Or perhaps you're new with this, you go, well, every preacher always gets to sin. Well, that's where it all starts. You got to start at the beginning to get to the end.
Yes.
The Bible teaches us that God created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam and Eve, and in that creation it was perfect. But then by the choice of our physical and spiritual ancestors, a thing called sin entered into the world, and everything is touched by it. Everything is touched by it. Because you see, sin, the essence of sin, is self-centeredness. Sin is an eye-driven disease. And what we saw last week was an eye-driven act of rage, fear. We don't know. We'll never know what was in the mind of this man. And some would want you to believe It's a gun control issue. Well, my friends, if you go to the brothers in the Bible where the first murder happened, what did he use? A rock. So are all rocks assault weapons? Only if I assault you with it. There's those that want us to be distracted by a mental illness question. Did this man have mental illnesses? I'm not an expert, but I'm going to say this. If you'll walk into a church and shoot 26 people, something's not mentally right with you. Amen. If you'll even contemplate. But this is what I know, is that sin is the base of the struggle of humanity. And there is an answer to sin, and His name's Jesus. And there is a deliverance from sin, and it's one day heaven. But this ain't heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, we as the church must not be distracted by what the world thinks the answer is. The government is not the answer. Gun control is not the answer. The answer to the question of humanity is Jesus. Because the question is sin. And the world rejects the question because if you answer that question, then there must be someone who says there's a right and a wrong. And if there is that person, then there must be a God. If there is a God, then there must be an accountability to that God. And our human nature does not want accountability. Although we want deliverance. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a political one. We should do all that we can to help those who are in need. I don't know what this man needed. I don't know where he was coming from. I don't know what he was wrestling with that would lead him to do such a thing. But the answer to the need of society's woe is Jesus. And you and I know Him. You and I have the privilege of being His ambassador to our world. There's a lot of questions we can't answer. But there's one we can. Is there hope in the world? There absolutely is. And His name's Jesus. So today's message isn't a refute of all the questions being answered. Today's message to you and I is a message of hope and reminding of who we are and whose we are and what that means to us. Because what the world is desperate for is hope. And you and I have a hope, not in society, but in a Savior. So let's look today. Today's focus passage is Psalms, the 46th chapter, the first 10 verses. Verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. The Hebrew word for trouble means pressed in or confined in a tight space. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard the old phrase, between a rock and a hard place?
Yes.
Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Well, the Bible says that in times like those, there is a place for people to go. The Bible tells us that the world presses in and you say, man, I know what that's like. Because as a Christian, it's not as cool as it used to be. As a pastor, you're not revered like you once were. Just go down to the hospital. As a pastor, I used to be able to just come and go as I pleased. Oh, Reverend Vaughn goes, come on in. Now it's, no, you can wait and get a sticker like everybody else. You see, the world's a-changing, ladies and gentlemen. And the world and the adversary to the kingdom of God is pressing in on us. And it used to press only in our places of employment. And then it would press inside our families. And ladies and gentlemen, now it presses even inside the structures in which the church gathers. And it says that we, as believers, have a place. Now, I can't speak for the military folk, but sometimes retreat is the best decision you can make. Retreat is not a cowardice act. Retreat is not an act of weakness. Something that grinds my gears is when the world says, well, Christians just, they use Christ as a crutch. Well, you know what? Sometimes we need to walk. Sometimes I need someone to hold me up because the feet don't work. I don't need a crutch. I need a cross, and I need a Savior, because in Him I have hope. And the Bible says that in Him I have a place to hide, to retreat for just a little while. And he says, in him, we can go to him, and we can find refuge in him, and we can find peace in him. And the Bible also tells us that in him and him alone are we saved. Now, part of the challenge we must work through in our lives is what does being saved in the Lord mean? Because you're sitting here and you're thinking in your mind, those 26 people last Sunday thought they were saved. And many of them, if not all of them, were saved in the Lord. But what does saved mean? Well, we begin with saved meaning a spiritual safety, birth of faith in Jesus Christ and his completed works by grace. But saved can mean a lot of things depending on God's will in our lives. Saved does not always mean physically saved, ladies and gentlemen. Because if it did, what about Peter? What about Paul? What about Jesus? You see, we misinterpret what saved is. But the Bible tells us that in him, we can take refuge and rest knowing that nothing touches us lest it pass through the hand of God. Now we've hung ourselves on a nail, haven't we? You're saying, Jimmy, you're telling me God knew what would happen last Sunday morning? Ladies and gentlemen, absolutely yes. Because if God didn't know what was going to happen there yet last Sunday, he doesn't know what's going to happen here today. Why God allows it? Well, if I can just simplify it, this is an oversimplification. There's only two things. They're either the pathway now or perfection. When Jesus comes again and he closes the church age, things will change. And those of us who are in him will find refuge not only temporarily but eternally in a place called heaven. But the challenge with that is this. Is the avenue by which men and women, boys and girls and teenagers can come to salvation in Jesus becomes much more difficult. And if you think the world's a tough place today, just read the back of the book. Jesus tarries because there are still men and women, boys and girls, husbands, wives, fathers, grandparents, who are yet to come to faith in him. The Bible says that God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to saving knowledge of Jesus. The reason Jesus tarries his return is not because he's weak, it's not because he's lazy, it's not because he's unsure, it's not because he's hoping to build up the force by which to do what he needs to do. It's because there are people lost and destined for an eternity apart from him, and he's waiting that they may come to him. And my friend, you may be one of them. Someone will be the last one. Have you ever thought about that? Somewhere in this round marble of a world of ours, someone will receive Christ and they will be the last one before his return.
Yes.
Could it be you? I don't know. Should it be you? I think it could be. It should be. But let's look at what the Scripture says. Psalms 57, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. Not in you, political party, not in you, NRA, not in you, CNN, Fox News, pick your poison, but in you we find refuge. A calm harbor, a place to rest for a while. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. When? Until the disaster has passed. You know, there's little disasters and there's big disasters. And the sad truth is this, ladies and gentlemen. Events of last Sunday morning is a disaster that will soon pass from our minds. In time, we all will go about our way. In time, even First Baptist Church, Sutherland, will begin the journey forward. There's the small disasters, and then there's the greater disaster of a perfect creation touched by sin. 27 Psalm tells this, for in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in his shelter of his tabernacle, and he will set me upon a rock. 62 tells us this, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. I want you to know, you can do without a lot of things in life, but hope isn't one of them.
And we do not find everlasting hope in anything that is temporal. Whether it's a relationship, a government, a championship, whatever the ship may be, there's only one person we can find eternal hope in, and that's God. He alone is my rock, my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him when? At all times. See, that's part of the challenge we face today. Is we want to face Him in the bad times, trust Him in the bad times, but we tend to let it go in the good times. But you can't practice in the bad times what you don't practice in the good times. If you're not looking to Jesus, leaning on Jesus, growing in Jesus when the sun is shining, when the storm comes, and it will, you may not survive the storm. You may not last. You may not make it. You will be a casualty. You say, Jimmy, well, that's just kind of mean. I'm just trying to be truthful. Because this is what I know to be true. Is somewhere around Sutherland First Baptist Church, there will be someone who, because of these events, will walk closer to God, but there will be at least one that will walk further away. That's the way the adversary works. Because they're already whispering in their ear, if your God cannot protect you in that building, how can He protect you at all? Seems valid, doesn't it? But the truth is our God doesn't need a building to protect us in. He's with us all the time. And what safe means, like I said, that's something we've got to work through. Proverbs 18 says, the name of the strong tower, the righteous run to it and are safe. Verse 2, therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. He says, to believe in Him. Now, there's a difference between believing and knowing. Christmas is how many weeks away, Miss Slinkard? 6 No, wait a minute. I'm going to show you how good a preacher I am. There's an illustration. If you can't depend on Mrs. Slinkard not knowing where Christmas is, what can you depend on? She starts counting down on Christmas night. I believe in you, Susan. I believe in you. But belief is more than just a head knowledge. Christmas is just around the corner. And there's a lot of people that have a head knowledge of a Jesus. They have a lot of head knowledge of a Savior. They have a lot of head knowledge of a baby in a cradle. But they don't have a heart knowledge. You see, a head knowledge is not belief. It's simply knowledge. But we must believe. He says, believe in Him. Therefore, we will not fear. Wait a minute. Anybody get fearful? Last Thursday, I walked into this worship center alone. And I laid face down right here. And I surrendered my daughter to God again. Because I don't take childbirth as something routine. It's a tumultuous thing. And I laid here and I wept and I gave her to Him again so that I could wait without fear. Now, when they take your daughter back for a C-section and they say, yeah, give us about an hour and it's 4, the mind fills in the blanks. So, It's. Don't hear me say you'll never have fear, because that's delusional. But he said, what he's saying is this: though everything we know changes, he gives us a beautiful illustration of all the things in our world. He says, if the earth should change. Now we know the earth changes, but if it should change in a never mind. He says, if the mountains slip into the sea, if you've ever been on the mountains, by the mountains, or seen a picture of the mountains, that would be a catastrophic, that's the word I was looking for, a catastrophic change. Though the waters roam and roar and foam, if you've ever stood by a coastline, and I'm thinking of the Oregon coast, where the waves just continually pound and they're roaring and they're powerful and they're intimidating, but beautiful at the same time. He says, if everything changes, one thing never changes. We must believe in the God who never changes. Because everything in life changes. Miss Susan doesn't know how far Christmas is. Everything changes. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. We must depend on Him. A great concern of any city, especially in ancient cities, was that they would be besieged. And what that simply means is the armies would camp around the city and just let it die a natural death. There were three things that a city always tried to prepare for. First, they needed a fortified wall around them. And as we saw just a moment, God is our fortified wall. However, a fortified wall is only as strong as the character of the men and women who stand at its gates. Because if you have a fortified wall with no doors, it's not beneficial. The Great Wall of China is an incredible thing. I've walked it, but it's only as secure as the character of the man who stand at its gates. And my friends, hear me. The God that stands at the gates of your fortress is trustworthy. Every day, every night, and in every situation. Secondly, the city would want an abundant food source. They would store up food. Beef jerky, bread, all these kind of things. The Bible tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You can live a long time without food, but you'll live a shorter time without water. And the Bible says that God is the source of living water. An abundant source, an unending source. You say, well, Jimmy, what does that mean? Well, there is a source by which God's water is dispensed to us through, through the Word of God. When you spend time in His Word, His living water is dispensed into you. When you pray, His word is dispensed into you. His water is dispensed into you. I want you to know, I told my bride, we got in the car to go to Dallas. I said, I'm prayed up. Let's go. Because everything I could do was done. Let me just say this. Being the grandfather is harder than being the father. I was at least fourth on the depth decision chart. I had no control whatsoever. It's terrifying. Worship. When we come together and worship, or when you worship as an individual in your car or in your workplace or wherever you're worshiping, when you just say, hey, thank you, God, when you know someone buys your coffee ahead of you, thank you, God. Worship dispenses that living water to us. And another area, and it doesn't seem like it would, but it does, is when we're working for the Lord, when we're about the Lord's business, when we're doing our daily routine as unto the Lord, that dispenses that living water. And I just want you to know, it keeps your soul refreshed. It keeps you encouraged. It keeps you strengthened. It keeps you motivated. And it testifies to our world. Verse 6, the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised His voice. The earth melted. He raised His voice and the earth melted. Hold on to that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes war to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, he cuts the spear in two, and he burns the chariots with fire. God always delivers. Ladies and gentlemen, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, and God is not too weak to care for you. The scripture just told us that with the raising of his voice. You remember how I said that the base of the problem is sin. When God created, he simply fiat, he spoke. He just spoke. Everything that you know and more that you do not know, he just spoke. That same God, ladies and gentlemen, is the same God who is your defender. That same God is the God who will bring justice to an unjust world. Well, how do we remember what he has done? Well, we read the book and we see what he's done in biblical text, but we also take into account for you. Can I ask you this? Has God delivered you? Right here. Line forms to the right. Ladies and gentlemen, if God will deliver you from yourself, and if he'll deliver you from the trials, tribulations, and sinfulness of this world, you think he'll deliver you? Amen. He's the same God, the Bible says, what? Yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Same God. So we recount his delivery of us. How about this? Is there anyone in your life that God has delivered? The other morning, I walked past Brian at breakfast because I was really trying to snob him. I mean, you can only take Brian so much, and at breakfast, it gets real small. No, not really. I didn't see him. I was focused on the food, truthfully. And so, you know, I get this attitude from him, so I have to go back and talk to him. So I'm talking to him. There's a man sitting right behind me, another man named Ted. And I've known Ted twice as long as I've known Brian, at least. Well, we're talking, and I said, Ted, I said, I was out the other weekend, out that way, and I saw a sign that said Wedding, Guyton. And I thought, that has to be associated with you. That's one of those names, Guyton. Not like Smith, I mean Guyton. I said, was that you? He goes, well, yeah, that was my grandson. I said, was it that grandson? He goes, yeah, it was that grandson. The grandson who was ejected out of the vehicle down here at the Sabine River Bridge, who was battered and broken and quite truthfully by many doctors left for dead. But God delivered him. I said, Ted, do you remember that night? He goes, I remember it like yesterday. I said, God is good. He says, every day. Listen, if you get so short-sighted you count your own delivery, just look around at somebody else's. Amen? God is delivering today. God's still changing lives. I'm about to say something, and you're going to think I might be a hypocrite, but I mean it with every fiber of my being. One of the saddest events of last Sunday was when that man, for whatever reason, he did that thing. Put his own weapon to his head and took his own life. Because I believe by faith that God could have changed it. And wherever that hammer found him, eternity will keep him. And you may be saying, Jimmy, why would he even deserve a chance at heaven? Because we're all sinners. Why would he even deserve a chance at grace? Because we're all sinners. Come unto me all who are heavy laden. Not just those that do good, because you know what? That would have disqualified me. The man calls his father. Jesus' life. And I can't help but think in my mind the devil won. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a fallen world, but God still changes life. And God will deliver us in the future. One day, heaven. One day when we gather for worship in perfect harmony. We gather together never to be touched by sin again. God has delivered. God is delivering. And God will deliver, ladies and gentlemen, one day heaven. As we step through that door one person at a time, and Lord willing, He comes back soon for all of us at once, one day heaven. But heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You must be saved by grace in faith of Jesus' completed works. You can't buy in, you can't bribe in, you can't walk in, you can't work in. Jesus says, I am the way. Done. Or if I can use modern vernacular, mic drop. Verse 10. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Be still. The world wants to go places 1,000 miles an hour in 1,000. God says, be still. Don't allow the world to set your minds down. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm an information junkie. I love conversation. I love good, honest debate. But the world does not determine my mindset. The Word of God sets my agenda. The Word of God determines my mindset. We must be very careful. Steal your heart. Guard your heart. The Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. They are prone to wander. In days like these, our hearts can wander. And like I said, sadly down there in that little South Texas town, there'll be someone that steps towards Jesus through this tragedy. But there'll still be somebody who steps back. Because their heart will wander. And the adversary, just like a sick cow of a herd, will just begin to cut them out. And we know what happens when an animal is cut from the herd long enough and far enough. They become dinner. The Bible says that you and I have an adversary who hates us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the Scripture says. That which he what? May. What's the may? When the heart wanders. When we find ourselves out there instead of in here. Be still in our actions. Don't act without God. Don't tweet. Don't Facebook. Don't email. Don't hold conversations without praying and asking God to give you wisdom. Because remember, we're about pointing people to Jesus, not about trying to win arguments. I don't care whether they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or whatever. I just want them to see Jesus. I don't care if they're a gun rights or a gun limitation. I need them to see Jesus. That's what I'm about. Don't act without God. And lastly, my dear friends, don't act like God. We must be very careful. Why that man did what he did? Well, the truth is we'll never know. We get to see some of what's going on in his life. But the truth is you'll never see his mind, you'll never see his heart. We don't know. I'm not his God. I weep for him. Not only for his eternal destination, because everyone says he was an atheist or an agnostic. But I weep for everyone else that his decisions touched. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not God. And the world doesn't need us to be God. And that means that it's not our responsibility to try to explain everything, because we simply can't. Why on a Sunday morning, just like this Sunday morning, would a man who had a beef with his mother-in-law drive all the way down to the middle of nowhere and walk into a little country church and do such a thing? And where was God? On his throne. I can't explain it. I don't have words. I could placate it, but I can't explain it. What God calls us to do, trust him. Now, we may be hanging on the knot at the end of that rope, but thank God for the knot. Because not only do we not know what led that man to that place to do that thing, we also will not have a chance to see this side of eternity what God will do through that. Like I said, there'll be those that'll step towards the Lord. There'll be those that'll step back. But I can promise you there's many, many, many who are at least having to contemplate. This week, our governor has called upon our state to pray for our sister church. I'm thankful to have political leaders who will call us to prayer, unlike others who will mock the prayer brigade. That tweet didn't go out because that one had some other words in it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not our last resort, it's our first response. And so today, I want us to do something a little different. We just don't do this very often, and I know it may feel a little awkward, especially for our new friends, and please forgive me in advance. But just for a physical sense of unity, I want us to pray together for our sister church. But I want us to pray together for our church. Because as I sat there and I watched those reports coming in, I thought to myself, what if that were my church? The pastor of that church and his wife were away on a weekend getaway. He was dating his mate. His 14-year-old daughter stayed home, probably with a church member. They get up and they go to that little white church, like she had probably done since the day she was born. Only to see Jesus. And I think of that pastor. He's trying to walk his faith and be a groom to his bride and a shepherd to his sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a devastating thought. Because the shepherd loves his flock. And the flock loves each other. And ladies and gentlemen, this local expression of the church means the world to me. And I hope that it means the world to you. That church will never be the same. But this is what I believe by faith, because the Bible says that not even the gates of hell shall prevail. That in time, and by grace, and through faith, that little country church will walk on. And I don't say this for any other reason than this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we should take this time of being together. It's precious. Because we're not promised another. What I'm going to ask to do, I'm going to ask the worship team to come and to prepare themselves. And like I said, I know this is going to be a little uncomfortable for some of us, and forgive me. But then what I'm going to ask is for us, as best we can, given, you know, whatever your specific need is to just come together. We're going to just kind of fill in right here. And the goal of that is to just to kind of have a physical sense of being together. I know we're together, but just to have a sense of being together. And our goal is twofold. One is that we'll think and we'll pray for our sister church, and then we're going to pray for us, that God would bind us together even more tightly, and that God would see fit to grow us numerically, that other people could come to see Jesus and to love Him. And then we're going to sing our closing song together here, and then we're going to go into our mission field. Ladies and gentlemen, from your pastor, take heart. Don't be afraid. God is on His throne. His promises are true. Let me also say this. Our fellowship have people in place who are ready to respond, if that should ever befall us. We will not be caught unprepared and unable to respond. We do that because we love you. And we do that because we live in days like these. So when you come to this place, you can walk in a quiet confidence that there are eyes watching. There are hearts prepared to defend you. Because we live in days like this. May we never have to exercise that plan. But do not be worrisome. Have a plan. Now, if you would, we're just going to come. Just make your way up here and just kind of fill in close. And as best you can. And if you would prefer to sit, if physically you need to sit, that's fine. There's not a right and wrong. They're coming on. Come on in, and there we go. You know, in our little local expression here, it's easy for us to just kind of get siloed. You know, this is church. This is the way church is done. But we are a part of the capital C church. This is a local expression. But the Bible says in John that we're all one. And that little country church is as much our sister as pick any church in Greenville. And we can't be there physically, but we can carry them in our hearts, and it can motivate us to be prepared and to be proactive in sharing faith. It can give us courage to engage our society. Don't be afraid. One of the greatest lies of the adversary is this: well, you don't have all the answers. Well, guess what? You're not God. I don't have all the answers. Give the best answer you can. Best is the best. So we're going to pray, and then Jacob and the team's going to lead us in a song. And then at the close of the song, we'll be done. Just remember, ushers, if you would, let's do this. If you'll stand in the breezeway, for those who may have a gift to give, they can do that on the way out. I just saw that. So let's pray together. You can join hands if you feel like it. Whatever's comfortable for you. Father, we give you thanks for this day. Lord, we give you thanks for the little ALF. And Lord, we just give you thanks for everyone that means so much to us. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would protect us. Give us wisdom in knowing how to be ready without being closed off. Knowing how to be prepared without being living in fear. Father, help us in this present time, Lord, which you are not surprised by, for you know all things. Lord, help us to keep the doors of our church open and the heart's doors open to a lost and hurting world. Yes, Lord, to love the world sometimes means hurt. Lord, hard, but it's not the cross. Father, we pray for our sister church. God, if we were just being honest, we don't even want to think about it. But as they gather somewhere today, 26 of their precious family is not with them. Lord, I pray for their pastor. God, help them not to quit. Lord, but help them to also just be a man. To be bride's husband, his family's father. Father, we pray for the first responders and all who have to deal with such a thing. Lord, bless them. Father, we pray for the family of the man who, for whatever reason, thought that this was the best thing to do. Because he's someone's son. Father, there are no winners in this. Father, we know our world has 1,000 questions, and a lot of them we just can't answer. But Lord, give us faith. Lord, let us lean into you. Let us lean into each other. Such days like this. Lord, let us run to you as our fortress. Let us feed on you as our food. Lord, let us be revived in you as our living water. Father, we thank you for the deliverance of the past. We thank you for the deliverance of today. Oh God, in one day heaven. We love you and we trust you. Lord, without any shame in our hearts, we confess our need. Thank you for this day. We thank you for, again, the opportunity to be together in peace and in safety. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.